Gurave Namaha.
So maybe I'll just read the Bengali.
Anerahiki Kata Baladeva Mahashaya Yanra Bhava Shuddha Sakya Vatsal Yari Maya.
So you can do the word by word synonyms.
Anera
of others.
Ki kata.
What to speak.
Baladeva.
Lord Baladeva.
Mahashaya.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yantra.
His.
Bhava.
Emotion.
Shuddha Sakya,
pure friendship.
Vatsalya Adi Maya,
with a touch of paternal love. Translation, not to speak of others, even Lord Baladeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of emotions like pure friendship and paternal love. You can repeat. Not to speak of others.
It says what? Oh, what?
Oh, here it says not. I guess that's the edited edition. Even Lord Baladev,
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
is
full of emotions,
like pure friendship and paternal love.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although Lord Baladev appeared before the birth of Lord Krishna and is therefore Krishna's worshipable elder brother, he used to act as Krishna's eternal servitor. In the spiritual sky, all the Vaikuntha planets are predominated by the quadruple expansions of Krishna known as the Chaturvyuha. They are direct expansions from Baladeva. It is the singularity of the Supreme Lord that everyone in the spiritual sky thinks himself a servitor of the Lord. According to social conventions, one may be superior to Krishna, but factually everyone engages in his service. Therefore, in the spiritual sky or the material sky, in all the different planets, no one is able to supersede Lord Krishna or demand service from him. On the contrary, everyone engages in the service of Lord Krishna. As such, the more a person engages in the service of the Lord, the more he is important. And conversely, the more one is bereft of the transcendental service of Krishna, the more he invites the bad fortune of material contamination. In the material world, although materialists want to become one with God or compete with God, everyone directly or indirectly engages in the service of the Lord. The more one is forgetful of the service of Krishna, the more he is considered to be dying. Therefore, when one develops pure Krishna consciousness, he immediately develops his eternal relationship, eternal servitude, servitorship to Krishna. And I'll just read the text. Translation of the next two or three verses, because it's also in regard to Lord Balaram. He also considers himself a servant of Lord Krishna. Indeed, who is there who does not have this conception of being a servant of Lord Krishna? He who is Sesha, Sankarshan, with his thousands of mouths, serves Sri Krishna by assuming 10 forms. Okay. So, now we'll speak a little bit. So, of course, Balaram appeared before Krishna and is Krishna's older brother. There's an interesting discussion about this, that Balaram was supposed to have appeared 8 days before Krishna. And then people wonder, how is that? Because of the method of Balaram's appearance is quite interesting. That Balaram, of course, was originally in the womb of Devaki and then transferred into the womb of Rohini, who was one of Vasudeva's wives. Rohini had, I mean, Vasudeva had several wives, and Rohini was one, and of course, Devaki was another. And there was another wife of Vasudeva who gave birth to Subhadra. So Prabhupada comments on that. So anyway, so Balaram was transferred into Rohini's womb, and everyone was thinking that Devaki had a miscarriage. And so generally it's mentioned that 8 days later, Krishna appeared. So as actually listening to some explanations by the acharyas, they actually say it was 1 year and 8 days later. Yeah. Well, the Balaram was in the womb for 14 months. But you can't, you know, practically speaking, of course, Krishna can do miracles. You can't have a miscarriage generally and give birth to a child 8 days later. So the acharyas explained, because I've been confused about this before, how was it 8 days? You know, the acharyas actually explained it was 1 year and 8 days later that Krishna was born. So anyway, so somehow or other, this was arranged by Krishna's internal potency. And of course, the name-giving ceremony for Balaram and Krishna was done on the same day. Generally, in the previous incarnations, where Krishna and Balaram appeared in various ways, such as Lord Ram and Lakshman, you have Balaram appearing, or Sesh, Balaram, appearing as Krishna's younger brother. And so there's this interesting story told by the acharyas that when Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman were there, Lord Ramchandra asked Lakshman to do many, many things that Lakshman didn't appreciate. And, you know, one of those things, of course, was to put Sita Devi into the fire. And another thing was to drop Sita Devi off in the forest. And so Lakshman was quite upset with this. And of course, he was very obedient. He was very obedient to the orders of his elder brother, because that is the etiquette, as mentioned here in the verse. The etiquette, a hierarchy, is that the older brother should be actually accepted like a father, basically. And you're supposed to serve. You see that with the Pandavas, too, that you had the five Pandavas, and they were actually following very strictly the order of Yudhisthira Maharaj, who was the eldest of the five Pandavas. So, because of that, Lakshman followed very strictly the order of Lord Ram, and he didn't like what he was doing. Then, Hare Krishna, good to see you. So then Lord Ram said to Lakshman, after everything was over, practically the whole episode of Ravana being killed was over, he said, Lakshman, I'm very, very pleased with you. Also, another point is that Lakshman was so obedient to the order of Lord Ram, or the orders of Lord Ram, that he would not eat unless Lord Ram told him to eat. And so what happened is the whole time they were in the forest, when they were banished by Dasharatha, and of course Kaikeyi had a lot to do with that, Lakshman didn't eat anything. And of course, one may ask, how did he survive without eating? But he's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so there's no question of diminishing in bodily stature because of not eating. If any of us don't eat, we would certainly become very thin and eventually die. So Lord Ram was so pleased that Lakshman had just followed his orders exactly. He said to Lakshman that whatever you want, whatever benediction you want, I'll give you. And Lakshman said immediately, I don't ever want to appear as your younger brother anymore. And Lord Ram said, okay, Tathastu, you know, that will be. And as a result, from that time forward, at least within this cycle of incarnations, because these are repeating incarnations, obviously, in the future, Treta Yuga, you know, once in the day of Lord Rama, of course, then you also see Lord Ram and Lakshman's younger brother. But these are, it's like a cycle that occurs. So therefore, Lakshman appeared as the elder brother. And it's mentioned here in the verse that we just read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this elder brother had paternal, in other words, Balaram had paternal affection towards Krishna, in other words, protecting Krishna. Paternal means you're protecting, you're giving guidance, you're concerned for the other person. So Balaram was always like that. Although Krishna was always the boss. And Krishna did not listen to Balaram. I mean, I was just hearing one interesting story. This is told by Srila Jiva Goswami in the Gopal Champu about one pastime between Krishna and Balaram. This is the pastime of the Pulambasura demon, which is actually a very instructive pastime for us too, because Balaram is the original spiritual master. And if we follow the order of the spiritual master, we can conquer lust. In Pulambasura, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he represents lust for the opposite sex, but also the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. So by following the spiritual master, or serving the spiritual master, that means following the instructions of the spiritual master, one can conquer lust, which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada one time said Mr. Lust. He actually gave it a name, Mr. Lust, and he said you can conquer that by deity worship. You know, some we mentioned before that some devotees have written books, you know, The Joy of No Sex or something like that, and they were giving material methods for conquering lust, which doesn't work because it doesn't fry the desire seed in the heart. The desire seed has to be fried by Krishna in the heart actually doing that. And that happens when we please the spiritual master. Anyway, so getting back to the point of this story of Pulambasura, let's see if I remember all the details. So such an interesting story that Pulambasura was really proud of his demoniac activities. In the Gopal Champu, it mentions that Kamsa is very depressed. He's practically crying, and there was no Prozac present at that time to take care of that. So Kamsa was very depressed. All my demoniac associates have been killed. And Pulambasura comes up to him, like very empathically, and says, "What's the problem, my dear boss, Kamsa?" And Kamsa says to him that all my associates have been killed. And Pulambasura says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of that, Krishna." And Kamsa says, "That's not going to work." This is actually a very interesting interlude. Jiva Goswami gives a different, not a different point of view, but a unique point of view. It's not actually different. But he expands on this particular pastime. So he says that I'm going to take care of it. And Kamsa says, "That's not a good idea. You know, he's killed all your associates, you know, your relatives and everything like that, you know, Putana and all those other nice creatures. And so, don't do it." The Kamsa is actually asking him not to do it. And Pulambasura says, "You know, I'm going to do it. I'm the Pulambasura. You know, I'll assuage your grief and everything like that. Don't worry. Everything will be all right." And Kamsa says, basically, "You know, you don't understand. It's like going into a fire to attack that young boy." So Kamsa has some realization at that point. Does anyone remember that from Gopal Champu? You remember that? She reads the Gopal Champu. Anyway, I'm doing a narration of the Gopal Champu and recording it now. That's chapter 16 in the Gopal Champu. And also deals with the forest fire, one of the forest fires. So Pulambasura goes to Vrindavan. And he sees that Krishna person doing his pastimes. And he goes into the village. He dresses like a dacoit. And he steals some clothes of the cowherd boys. Such an interesting description by Jiva Goswami. So he dresses up as a cowherd boy. And he comes into the assembly of cowherd boys. And Krishna makes believe he recognizes him. I think he calls him like something like, beginning with a B, I forget the name. Anyway, he says, hey, where you been? And Krishna immediately knows what's happening. Balaram doesn't. It was interesting. You know, Balaram and Krishna are non-different. They're the same person. This is also, is somewhat reminiscent of the what we were talking about before, how the devotees and Krishna expands in different pastimes. So in one form, Krishna doesn't know what's happening. In the other form, Krishna does know what's happening. How that is, I don't know. I mean, this is all the chincha shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, anyway, so Balaram doesn't know what happened. But Krishna says, hey, whatever the guy's name is, he says, where you been, you know? Let's get together. And so he comes into the assembly of coward boys, and Krishna says, was thinking, now Krishna doesn't say, he's thinking, you know, how to kill this demon. And he's thinking, Balaram should be the one to kill this demon. So then he arranges for a whole fight, wrestling match. And it's really a serious wrestling match. It's not just like, I mean, it's not that they're hurting each other, but they're putting their arms around and tackling each other, throwing each other to the ground. And they, you know, they have different teams, and the losing team has to carry the winning team on their back. And so Krishna has this Pulambasura on his team, and the other team is headed up by Balaram. And they're wrestling. And Krishna just says to his coward boyfriends, you know, let's throw this, you know, let's lose. So Krishna deliberately loses the wrestling match so the Balaram's team can win. And so Krishna has to carry one of the coward boys on his back. And Balaram is carried by Pulambasura. And Pulambasura just looked like a coward boy at that particular point. So what happens is that Balaram just still doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know it's all Krishna's plan so that he can kill this demon. And so, this is Yogamaya, of course. And so the Balaram is carrying Pulambasura is carrying Balaram. And Pulambasura takes him away because Pulambasura is getting a little frightened of Krishna at this point. He's not frightened of Balaram. He's just frightened of Krishna. He says, you know, I better get away from Krishna. You know, he's really powerful. So he doesn't understand Balaram's power. I mean, it's also interesting because it's like one doesn't understand the power of a Vaishnava. One can appreciate Krishna's power. This is like a third-class devotee, you know, Kanishtha Adhikari. That they can appreciate the power of Krishna. He's God, you know, he's on the altar. But the power of a Vaishnava is actually even more powerful than Krishna's power. And of course, Balaram is being the original spiritual master. We can't say he's the original Vaishnava, and Radharani is the head of all the Vaishnavas, but in one sense, he's Vaishnava because he's acting to serve Krishna, even though he's Krishna. Just like Govardhan. Govardhan is described as the best of the devotees, and also he's Krishna too. So Balaram and Govardhan have a very similar mood to them. Even though Balaram is Krishna, Advaita Chuta Nadi Dhananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Naviyopadam Cha. So Pulambasura is carrying away Balaram, and then Balaram somehow or other manifests his weight. Because Balaram, basically, he holds up all the universes, you know, he just manifests so much weight that Pulambasura is feeling, oh my God, this is just too heavy for me, you know. Pulambasura is practically getting a hernia from carrying Balaram. And so, then Pulambasura, in order to carry the additional weight that Balaram is manifesting, expands his body and looks again like he normally looks, like a demoniac. And so Balaram says, you know, this is the Krishna book, he says, my, how this carrier has changed. You know, so, and then he's just wondering, so Balaram's still bewildered. He doesn't know what to do. Should I kill him or not? And then he looks over at Krishna, and Krishna, with his eyebrows, says, kill him. So he acts, Which is really interesting how he's a servant of Krishna. You're referring to this whole verse here. That he has to get permission from Krishna to kill Balambasura. Because he's still not sure. He's not a coward boy. Even though he's changed, you know, he looks pretty demoniac at this point, you know. So, Krishna, what should I do with this guy? And Krishna, you know, he's described with his eyebrows somehow or other. Krishna gives him the message to kill him. So I was pondering on that story and just thinking, this is actually a wonderful way of illustrating Balaram's relationship with Krishna. So, anyway, so more stories about Balaram. So he was born today, which is called the Baladev Purnima. It's also celebrated in India as Rakshabandha. Many of you have heard about that before. And also in Fiji, where brothers and sisters, you know, they'll tie something on each other's wrists. Prabhupada said we don't follow that. Prabhupada, I hate to disappoint anybody from Fiji, but Prabhupada said that's not a Vaishnava ritual. Although, doing some research about it, it says that Banda, you know, what the string is considered to be an incarnation of Balaram. That's also, at least that's what people consider in India. I'm not saying Shastric, but they consider, you know, because Balaram ties people together. Sankarshan means to bring together, basically. So, and generally, the explanation that Sankarshan, who is Balaram, means to bring together the two dynasties, you know. And of course, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, they are related. Nanda Maharaj, of course, is a half-brother of Vasudev. And you have Surasen, who is the father. And he has a Vaishya wife and a Kshatriya wife. And so the Kshatriya wife gave birth to Vasudev, sorry. And the Vaishya wife gave birth to Nanda Maharaj. So they're actually half-brothers. So that's another reason why Krishna was transferred to Nanda Maharaj's house. And actually, the Acharyas describe that Krishna was born from Yashoda Mai. And Vasudev Krishna, and that's different than Vasudev. Vasudev was the father. Vasudev Krishna was born to Devaki and Vasudev. And when the Vasudev Krishna was brought by Vasudev to Vrindavan, that Vasudev Krishna merged into Rajendra Nandana, who is Nanda Maharaj's son, and therefore, you know, they became one. Of course, they always were one, but just manifested one form. So in other words, Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj are the actual mother and father of Krishna in Vrindavan. So Balaram always dressed in blue dress. And that's also interesting too, because blue is the color of Krishna. And also, who else do we find that dresses in blue dress? Srimati Radharani. So that indicates their devotion to their worshipable personality when you dress in the same color. So anyway, so I'm not saying that everybody who's a devotee of Krishna should put on a blue dhoti. Or those who are worshipping Radharani should wear yellow dhoti or yellow sari. Although yellow is my favorite color. So, some of the early pastimes of Balaram is that once upon a time, and many of these stories are elaborated on by Jiva Goswami in the Gopal Champu. It's such a wonderful book. It actually is practically chapter by chapter, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, but just more realizations about it, different points of view of Krishna's pastime. So I highly recommend that, and hopefully I'll be finished with the narration so you can get a copy of it soon as an audio book. But it's quite a large book. It's about this thick. So anyway, so once upon a time, in this place called Brahmananda Ghat, which is on the other side of the Jamuna from Vrindavan. When Krishna appeared, Krishna appeared in Gokul, and Radharani appeared in Ravel, regardless of what they may tell you in Barshana. They may say Radharani appeared in Barshana, but actually she appeared in Ravel. And anyway, so later on they crossed the Jamuna and went to Vrindavan. And the whole Vrindavan part, Vrindavan, of course it's all called Braj or Vrindavan in a larger sense. So in Vrindavan, the Vrindavan forest actually encompassed Govardhan Hill and Barsham and all these other places. It was quite large, the Vrindavan forest. It's the largest of the 12 forests. So anyway, so and this Brahmananda Ghat, Krishna was accused by Balaram of eating dirt. So Balaram, being the older brother, was very protective of Krishna. And so, this is part of the paternal affection. So he went to Yashodamaya, and he said to Yashodamaya, that Krishna's going to become very sick because he's eating dirt. And Mother Yashoda got very upset and went to Krishna and said, is this true? And she said, no, he's just trying to, this Balaram's just trying to cause me problems. He's, what do they say, ratting on me. That's a typical expression. In other words, telling on me. And Mother Yashoda said, well, let's see if it's actually true. And then what happened is that she opened Krishna's mouth, looked inside, and she saw a lot of dirt in Krishna's mouth. You know, she saw all the universes, even saw herself and Krishna in there. And she became overwhelmed with this feeling of awe and reverence. And Krishna didn't appreciate this feeling of awe and reverence. And he covered her again with Yogamaya so she would remember that she was his mother. And he was just a little helpless little boy. Another interesting thing is, oh yeah, just this is a side issue because this, I'm hearing all these things about Vrindavan, is that sometimes you find some statement that Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 11 years old, and other times you find the statement he left Vrindavan at the end of his 15th year. So the reason for that discrepancy, or apparent discrepancy, is there is some explanation is that Krishna left Vrindavan, this is after 11, drinking the milk from the Vrindavan cows for 11 years. So, one thinks, naturally, he left Vrindavan after 11 years. But actually, he drank the milk from the Vrindavan cows for 11 years. But before that, he was drinking the milk from his mother for 4 years. So 4 and 11 equals 15. So that's why you find that discrepancy, because of the description that Krishna only drank milk from the cows for 11 years. Does everyone understand that? It's interesting. Interesting understanding why you find some different explanations of how long Krishna spent in Vrindavan. What? Well, the end of 10 years. Like, when you're talking about 10 or 11, like, sometimes we say that Krishna left when he was 16. That's the end of 15. You understand? Do you follow? Yeah, at the end of 10. At the end, after... Anyway, this is how the acharyas describe the apparent discrepancy.
And aging is faster in
But he was definitely, definitely, you know, 16 years old when he went to there. But it's described 11 years, the acharyas described that 11 years he was drinking the milk from the cows, and 4 years he was drinking his mother's milk. And that means 15 years. Or the end of 15 years. So you say at 10 years, just like right now, you'll say that I am 65 years old, but actually I'm at the end of 65th year. You understand? Mm-hmm. The same thing. Anyway, that's a controversial thing. So anyway, so Balaram, other pastimes is that, let's see, oh yeah. Another pastime was the pastime of when Lord Brahma stole the calves and the coward boys, thinking that he would play a trick on Krishna. And when he did that, Balaram wasn't around. It was his birthday or something like that. They were celebrating his birthday, so Balaram wasn't around. And Balaram didn't actually know what was happening. This shows also the discrepancy, not discrepancy, but it shows the difference between what Balaram is aware of and what Krishna is aware of, and how the two different personalities, although they're the same personality, can be thinking differently and understanding things differently by the influence of Yogamaya. So after a few months, or we're getting close to the end of the year, Balaram was actually wondering why the parents of the coward boys were having as much affection for their sons as they had for Krishna. And also the cows, why they had as much affection for their older calves more than the younger calves. In fact, it's described in the Krishna book, the cows, they ran down the hill, neglecting their younger calves to be with their older calves, who were actually incarnations of Krishna. And so Balaram was thinking, you know, why is this? And then finally he realized that. And he saw that they were actually incarnations of the Supreme Person, of himself. That's which is interesting, too. Because when they're Vishnu incarnations, they expand from Balaram. So even though they expanded from Balaram, Balaram wasn't aware of it. Wow, just the actions of Yogamaya are so amazing. And when Krishna, but another time when Krishna was fighting the Kaliya serpent, Balaram was aware that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God, and he didn't get bewildered. In fact, he protected the residents of Vrindavan from jumping into the Jamuna River because they wanted to go and save Krishna. I mean, they were fainting and completely devastated by Krishna being in the Kaliya Lake, and he restrained the residents of Vrindavan. So in that time, he actually had knowledge. So more pastimes of Balaram. excuse me. Of course, there's the famous pastime in the Krishna book of the marriage of Rukmini's grandson, Aniruddha, with Rukmini's grandson, granddaughter, so Rochana. And that was held in Rukmini's kingdom of Bhoja Kata. And there was a famous chess game where the king of Kalinga wanted to play chess with Balaram, and Balaram was not very expert in chess playing. Of course, Balaram is the most expert, but for pastime's sake, he may believe he was an expert. So they bet 100 coins, 1,000 coins, 10,000 coins. And during this whole procedure, when Balaram was playing with Rukmi, the king of Kalinga was showing his teeth, you know, just like making fun, ha, 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 like that. And then 100,000 was won by Rukmi. And this is all based on cheating. And Balaram was very angry, and he challenged. And then he won 100 million at that particular point. And then there was a voice from the air saying that Balaram was the winner, but Rukmi said, I'm the winner. And Rukmi started to criticize Balaram, saying that you're a coward boy, you're not expert. And then Balaram took his famous club, and he hit Rukmi on the head. And, of course, Rukmi died at this nice marriage ceremony. And then he went to the king of Kalinga, and he broke the king of Kalinga's teeth. And all the other kings and princes and everybody there, Balaram got angry with him, and he broke all their legs and arms with his club. Another story, of course, is the famous Dvidvira story. So this Dvidvira gorilla had some pastimes with Lakshman, Balaram, when he appeared as Lakshman. And he disrespected Lakshman. And as a result of bad association, he became degraded because of his offense against Lakshman and then his seeking out bad association. And so what happened is he used to attack young girls and, you know, rape them. And so once upon a time, Balaram was dancing with some of his associates, gopis, in the Rayavata mountain. And this vid gorilla appeared. He was intoxicated and showed parts of his body that were not appropriate. And he wanted to kidnap the girls, and he fought with Balaram, throwing a stone, trees, hitting Balaram. And Balaram put down all of his weapons and struck his throat. And this Vidvit gorilla, who was previously chanting Kila Kila, vomited blood and died. So here, Balaram killed one of the associates of Lord Ramchandra. This Vidvit gorilla was actually helping Lord Ramchandra. Another interesting story is the story in Hastinapur, where Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshman, was kidnapped by Samba, who was the son of Jambavati. And they arrested Samba unfairly, utilizing all the Kurus. So Nardamuni carried this news to Ugrasena, and they prepared to fight, but Balaram thought, you know, I'm going to be a peacemaker. I'm the messenger of Ugrasena. So he tried to bring peace between the two. And the Kurus got very angry and said, what is this? They insulted Balaram. The feet are giving instructions to the head. And so, actually, Balaram, you don't even have a good royal insignia. Your royal insignia has been borrowed from us, the Kurus. And Balaram got so angry, he dragged the city of Hastinapur towards the Ganges and the Yamuna. And actually, the Kurus, it's described, did this deliberately because they wanted to see Balaram's chivalrous activity. So this was Balaram's getting angry. Another story about Balaram is the Rohmaharshana Sutta story. When Balaram heard about the battle of Kurukshetra, he didn't actually want to take sides because Duryodhana was one of his students, and so he didn't want to take sides against the Kurus or against the Pandavas, so he went on pilgrimage at that particular point, and one of the places he went to on pilgrimage was Naimisharanya, where the Srimad Bhagavatam was actually being spoken. But at that time, the Srimad Bhagavatam was being spoken by Rohmaharshana Sutta, who was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. And when Balaram entered, Rohmaharshana Sutta didn't stand up to receive him properly. Now, Rohmaharshana Sutta is called a Sutta. Sutta means like a mixed family, where you have a higher class lady with a lower class man. So in other words, a Brahmin lady with a Kshatriya man. So that's a Sutta family. And Balaram remembered birth of Rohmaharshana Sutta and killed him because he didn't have the proper etiquette. And Rohmaharshana Sutta's son, Sutta Goswami, was appointed to lead the assembly at that particular point. But Balaram was thinking, I have to atone for this. And the sages said, you have to atone for this. So he atoned for it by killing this demon Balbala. And he went on pilgrimage for 1 year. Balbala was the son of another nice demon, Ilbala. And Balaram killed him. So Balaram also, it mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, serves the Lord as the Lord's umbrella, the Lord's slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. In fact, the whole temple is considered to be an incarnation or a manifestation of Balaram. That's why it's mentioned that when devotees cleanse the temple, Prabhupada said cleaning the temple is non-different from cleaning the deity. So, because the temple is a manifestation of Balaram. Of course, we're actually sitting in the temple. We would sit on Balaram. But it's a manifestation of Balaram, the Sinasana, the Lord's Brahman thread, is a manifestation of Balaram. So all this different paraphernalia we should respect. So another name of Balaram is, another meaning of the name of Balaram is Bala indicates spiritual strength and Rama means to enjoy. Another name is Rohini Nandana. The marriage of Balaram is actually quite an interesting pastime told in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once upon a time, there was a king, his name was Revata. He had 100 sons, and his oldest son was named Kukudmi. Kukudmi's oldest daughter was named Revati. So he tried to find, as a father's responsibility goes, he tried to find a husband for his daughter who we consider to be extremely qualified. So he went to Lord Brahma at Brahmaloka to find her a husband. And Lord Brahma was having a musical performance at that particular time, so he had to sit outside in the waiting room and just wait until the musical performance was over. So Lord Brahma came out and he said to Lord Brahma, actually, can you find a husband for my qualified daughter? And Lord Brahma started to laugh at him at that particular juncture. And he said, well, you've got a problem here. 27 Chaturyugas have passed. So Chaturyuga means the four yugas together. Like Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yuga. And so that's a lot of years. Does anyone know how many years that is?
4 billion.
I think it's 4,300,000. 4,300,000 years. So it's a lot of time. Times 27. Anyone can do that particular calculation. I mean, it's a lot.
It's over 100 million. Over
100
million years.
Let's say 70. Anyway, I'm not going to do the whole calculation. 110 million. And he said, nobody remembers anybody that you knew. So forget it. You don't know any of these qualified boys. But if you leave here immediately, because the time experience in Brahmaloka is completely different than the time experience on the Earth planet. If you leave here immediately, Balaram is now on Earth, and you can go down and arrange for this marriage. So immediately he left Brahmaloka, and Revati married Balaram. And for Kudmi, he took sannyas at that point.
Where was Revati at that time that she didn't?
She must have been with him. Yeah. Otherwise, she would have. Balaram would have been married at a super centenarian. Anyway, so there's five forms of Balaram. Mahasankarshan, that are manifest in this world. Karunadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu, and Shesha. These are the five manifestations of Balaram for the creation and maintenance of this material world. Sometimes we find Balaram having different opinions than Krishna has. I mean, this is also interesting, too, how the different incarnations of Krishna who are non-different from Krishna can actually have different opinions than Krishna. I mean, how that is inconceivable, as we mentioned before. And one of those instances is that when Balaram had a different idea of who Subhadra should marry, and this is because Duryodhana was sort of buttering him up. Duryodhana became the disciple of Balaram, the martial arts disciple. And he had a very, very close relationship with Balaram and was always praising Balaram and wrestling with Balaram. It was almost like a friendship type relationship, but it was guru. So Balaram was very pleased with him and with his wrestling ability. And Balaram said to him, please, what do you want, my dear disciple? And he said, I would like to marry your sister. Now, this was for political reasons. It wasn't that Balaram was necessarily, not that Duryodhana was necessarily in love with Subhadra. It was advised by Shakuni that Duryodhana should marry Subhadra so that Krishna would not be able to oppose the Kurus when the Kurus were trying to get rid of Arjuna and the other Pandavas. So this is all political intrigue. And generally, amongst the Kshatriyas, you'll find marriages arranged for political purposes, to bring two kingdoms together, or to, you know, or to stop a war between two kingdoms. You know, sometimes you even find that in India, even during the British rule or before the British rule, that, that these marriages would take place. Even the Emperor Akbar, he married actually a Hindu princess, and that actually helped unify parts of India, especially Rajasthan. So Balaram was arranging for this marriage of Subhadra with Duryodhana, and he even went to Ugrasena and said, you know, this is what should be, this marriage. And everyone had to go along with Balaram because he was the oldest son, the oldest brother. And Krishna had a different idea. Krishna was thinking, this is not going to work as far as this whole plan of the battle of Kurukshetra. Plus, Subhadra can't marry a demon. That should never be. So at that point, Arjuna was sort of in exile. He had taken a vow of celibacy that didn't last for too long, because Arjuna had intruded upon Yudhisthira and Draupadi when they were together. And the deal was that if any of the other Pandavas intruded upon their brother who was with their common wife, then they would have to go into exile for a number of years and actually be brahmacharis. So Arjuna had to go into exile because he had to get the weapons which were taken and which were kept with Yudhisthira at that particular point. And so going into exile, of course, he did have a number of romantic encounters, so he wasn't exactly a brahmachari. Eventually, dressed as a sannyasi in saffron cloth, he came to Dwarka. And in Dwarka, he was invited by Krishna to basically take prasadam or to eat with the whole family. And this pastime is described in the Krishna book, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that he was sitting with the whole family. It was Balaram, and Balaram didn't know it was Arjuna. And he was making eyes at Subhadra as they were sitting at the dinner table. So then Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra, and Balaram was so angry at that point, he was getting ready to capture and perhaps even kill Arjuna. He called for all the Yadu soldiers, and then he looked at Krishna, and he saw that Krishna wasn't saying anything, and Krishna was just smiling. He said, what are you doing, Krishna? And Krishna said, well, this is pretty good that Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra. This was actually, he's worthy of her. And Balaram had to just give in to the whole thing and said, oh, this Krishna, he did it again. So this is an instance of Krishna disobeying Balaram. Another instance where Krishna really agitated Balaram was after the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Duryodhana was fighting with Bhimsen. And Duryodhana had achieved practical invulnerability because his mother, Gandhari, had looked at his body without her blindfold and made his whole body, except for the midsection, because Krishna had played a trick to make Duryodhana wear something in the midsection, except for the midsection, the whole body was invulnerable. So Duryodhana wasn't worried about that, because the rules in club fighting were that you can't hit someone below the belt. Like in boxing, that used to be the rule. Now they have like no holds barred boxing, where you can hit anyone anywhere. But when I was young, boxing meant you can only hit above the belt, which means the head also, and people would get all sorts of brain damage like Muhammad Ali did. So Bhimsen was fighting with Duryodhana, and Krishna, in order to tell Bhimsen how to defeat Duryodhana, slapped his thigh to give Bhimsen the message, you should hit Duryodhana below the belt. And Bhimsen did that, and Balaram, he was so angry after seeing that he got ready to kill Bhimsen. And Krishna had to intervene in that case too. So we see in many instances Krishna and Balaram, they had some differences of opinion about different things. But that's also a pastime, even though they're the same person. And finally, final thing, let's see, Okay. Two other things. That Balaram is considered the deity of Sandini. Sandini, of course, is the existential potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which maintains the spiritual realm. It also maintains the material realm because as Ananta Shesh, all the planets are floating on his heads, and he's also considered the source of gravity. Gravity, of course, is the what goes up must come down, as Newton said. And then the final thing is mentioned by Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where he says there are two demons killed by Sri Baladeva, but the contaminations they represent will have to be removed by dint of the devotee's own endeavors. This is one of the mysteries. This is one of the mysteries of Braja Bhakti. In other words, we get the mercy of Lord Balaram, who's the original spiritual master. But the mercy doesn't mean that we just sit back and become Krishna conscious. We have to work, because the mercy is instructions from the pure divine. And the two demons, of course, killed by Balaram were the Palambasura and Dainakasura. And Dainakasura represents ignorance of knowledge of the soul through gross material intelligence and jackass-like foolishness. So these are some of the explanations about Balaram. What? Palambasura, which you mentioned in the beginning. Palambasura, attraction for the opposite sex, and profit adoration distinction. So these are the things that we have to work on. In other words, sometimes people approach the guru or the great Vaishnavas and they think, you know, get the dust from the feet and everything will be all right. But the mercy of the Vaishnava, the mercy of the guru, is primarily manifest through instructions. That's the most important aspect. And as we hear, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya, Chute Te Kori Akya. One accepts the instructions of the words of the spiritual masters, one's life and soul. And so it takes a lot of work to conquer lust, anger, greed, laziness, ignorance of knowledge by hearing from the spiritual master, and jackass-like foolishness. So that's Dainakasura. Okay? All glories to Lord Balaram.
Jai, Lord Balaram.